We open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, and reading verse 14. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we certainly and humbly, Lord, we approach thy bread of life tonight, thy throne of mercy. The word which was in you before the foundations of the world, the word which you manifested to all men through your Son Jesus, the word which you expounded and declared through the lips of your prophet William Branham, the same word which Paul spoke, this word we read tonight, and this word has been declared to us. And Father, we know that we're a very, very small group of people, in the minority certainly, but knowing that makes no difference with you, because when you came down and indwelt your Son and performed and attracted the attention of thousands, literally tens of thousands, that came to the meetings in 4,000 and 5,000, yet when you declared to them the word, they weren't interested. They were only interested in what could be done for the physical body, the loaves, the fishes, the healings, the miracles, the wine because it was the best, and those things which are for the body. But when it came to the soul, they slept and slumbered. Father, we believe that you've descended with a shout, a midnight cry. There were foolish virgin, there were wise virgin that heard that cry. Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, from among those who are dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Father, we lay in the presence of that light tonight, knowing that as we walk in the light, as you are in that light, it brings us into fellowship one with another, and truly the blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, cleanses us from all sin, all unbelief. Father, I pray that your words would go forth with meaning tonight. I pray that you would take a hold of my lips, my tongue, my heart, Lord, my mind, and the mind and ears of your people. And truly, Lord, as the words would be spoken, as your prophet said, the bride would have thus saith the Lord, or she would keep still. We pray that that word would manifest itself tonight to us, for we ask it humbly. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Awake, thou that sleepest. And arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. We sang the song this evening before service, or in the singing portion of our worship. The song was taken from Psalm 60, in verse 1 to 2, Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. But notice the next verse. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness shall cover the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. In examining these words of the Apostle Paul, Ephesians 5 and 14, where it says, "Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." There are three things that he's declaring to us here. And in examining these words, we shall first of all examine who these sleepers are, in which this verse speaks of. Secondly, we shall examine what this exhortation means, "Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead." And thirdly, we will examine the promise that is made in association with those that do awake and arise. That promise being that Christ shall give thee light. Now, who are those sleepers, or these sleepers that we hear him speaking of? What does the word sleep mean to you, Ron? What is, when it says, "Awake thou that sleepest," they're sleeping. What does that signify? Okay, they're not doing too much, but what is the thoughts of someone asleep? In one sense, but in another sense, when is it best to sleep? Night. Why? What if it was light in the nighttime? Then it would be during the day. In other words, when it's dark out. So these people have something in common. Their eyes are closed. As you said, there's no activity going on, and they're in darkness. Now, who are these sleepers that are spoken of here? Well, by sleep, it signifies the natural state of man, that deep sleep of the soul, into which the sinful nature lays dormant, that laziness of the spirit, or that stupidity, that insensibility of your real condition, in which everyone that's into the world comes forth in that state and continues till the voice of God awakens them. Now, if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, we'll see the parable that Jesus gives us concerning the two types of virgins, the wise and foolish. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps," and we know that the word of God is a lamp unto our feet, "so therefore they took the word, and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them." In other words, there was not revelation with their Bible, with the word. There was simply, they had their Bibles, they went forth to meet the Lord. "But the wise took oil in their lamp, in their vessels, with the lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept." A sleeping virgin. "And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, come out to meet him." It's not, "Go ye out to meet him." The cry was from the outside. It's, "Come out to meet him." "Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut." Now, you know, I could say something pretty nasty here, but I won't say it. I won't say it, but I mean, not nasty as far as anything deviant, but just nasty as far as you could show plain right here who this is. Who this is. And who heard the cry, who didn't hear the cry. Well, I'll just say it. The wise virgin, the foolish virgin heard the cry. Amen? Is that what it says? doesn't say anything about those that were selling the oil. You see? It just talks about two groups of people, the wise and foolish. All right? And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answering said, not so, lest there not be enough for you and us, but go you rather to them that sell. Notice, go to them. They're not here. They're not in search for the Lord who's coming. They're interested in just selling oil. And then buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Now remember, the marriage takes place here. It's not over there. Brother Branham said, the marriage of the Lamb has come. And the bride hath made, past tense, herself ready. We're going to a marriage supper. But the marriage of the Lamb, the invisible union, is taking place here. See? And the door is shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open up to us. But he answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. I used to know you as my wife, but I don't know you as my wife anymore. Watch therefore, for you know not, you know neither the day nor the hour where the Son of Man cometh. And remember, he will come as a thief in what? In the night, when there's gross darkness upon the people. See? Now, notice, they that sleep, sleep in the night. If you turn with me to 1 Thessalonians, in reading from chapter 5, and beginning at verse 5. You are all the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Now, what's Jesus saying here? Or Paul, actually. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober. Now, Paul says, let us not be drunken as the night people are. We're children of the day. He says, let us not be as children of the night who slumber, but let us be wide awake. So Paul is laying for us the difference between the children of the light and the children of the night, or the children of darkness. There is a certain mental understanding taking place in the light. Whereas in darkness, there's actually no evidence of knowing. Now, if we were to suddenly turn off all the lights here, and I were to say, all right, everybody, you've got 10 seconds to leave the room, leave the premises, because there's a fire, whatever. If I were to say that right now, you could do it. If everybody get up, you know where the door's at. But let me turn the lights up. And maybe to illustrate, Paul, would you go ahead and shut off all the lights? Dwayne, would you shut off the light on the way back? Now, you got 10 seconds to find the door. How many want to try? Okay, go ahead and turn the lights back on, please. Now, why is it easier if I were to say now you've got 10 seconds to find the door? No problem. Why? You can see it. Notice, though, in the dark, you can't even see the door, much less know where the door is, what direction it's at. There's no clue. The only thing we had was just a little bit of something coming through the window, so at least you knew where the walls were at. Now, how many ever been in a dark room, got turned around, you didn't know which way was what? Can you imagine the souls of people that are sleeping today? He said, awake, thou that sleepest. and arise from amongst those who are dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now they that sleep, they sleep in the night. The state of nature is a state of utter darkness, a state wherein darkness covers the earth and gross darkness covers the people. The poor, unawakened sinner, no matter what knowledge they may possess as to other things, they may be the best computer people in the world, or may be the best scientists in the world. Remember the vision Brother Bram had? The scientists were working and pouring their stuff, and they heard that explosion, and they turned, and they saw, I think he was riding on the horse, whatever, and they turned and they went back to doing their work. They may be the most brilliant physicians in the world. No matter what knowledge they may possess as to other things, they have no knowledge of themselves. And in this respect, they knoweth nothing yet as they ought to know. They know not that they have been placed here for testing. They see no necessity of the one needful thing, that of a new birth. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 13, the verse preceding our text for tonight, he said, but all things that are reproved, all things that are exposed, are made manifest by what? By the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. The only way that you could know yourself. And that is why the world is so caught up into neurosis. Because they don't know who they are. They don't know where they came from. They don't know where they're going to. And therefore, they don't know where they're at right now. But whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Notice in Ephesians 4, reading from verse 17. Now this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Now let me ask you this. Supposing that you dreamt that you were eating, but you awaken and find yourself hungry, what good did your dream do? Supposing that you dreamt that you were drinking and you woke from your sleep and were very thirsty, what good did your dream do you? Supposing in your dream, for you young gals, that you met this very wonderful, very wonderful Christian physician, doctor, well off, and he wanted to marry you. And you wake up and you find it's just a dream. You go back to sleep, right? Supposing you dreamt that you're a millionaire, and you wake up and find yourself just in the same condition you were yesterday, have the same bills every day. What good are your dreams? It's vanity. Vanity. And so he says, that you walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened. In other words, the light has been shut off from them. They become alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now, what takes place first, the darkness or the blindness? Darkness. All right, so let me ask you this. If you have darkness first, I guess darkness, if it is darkness, you will be blind. However, if you are blind, it's always dark. And so, the blindness then is that something is withheld from them. They cannot see. They have eyes, but they cannot see. Ears, but they cannot hear. And so Paul says, having their understanding darkened, they become alienated from the life of God because the life is in the light. In him was light, and the light was the life. And the life was the light of men. See? Having their understanding darkened, they become alienated, separated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. The blindness of their understanding. They can't see it. Who, being past feelings, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so, that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus Christ. Therefore, put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, no matter what knowledge they may possess of other things, they have no knowledge of who they are. And therefore they wander. In this respect, they knoweth nothing yet as they ought to know, and they know not that they have been placed here for testing, and they see no necessity for the one thing that's needful, and that is to be born again. Therefore, they become content in their ways. They become content that this is life. This is all that I've got to look forward to. So I might as well enjoy it the way it is. They don't realize then their condition. And how can they? If you turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, in verse 4, Paul says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, shall manifest in his true character at the appearing, when he shall make known himself, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Until Christ appears and manifests to you, you cannot manifest who you are. We find the same thing said in 1 John chapter 3. In reading from verse 2, 1 to 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, when he shall manifest in his true character, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And our seeing him as he is, our knowing, we become known. Now, then, how could we ever know ourselves in our true condition without you? And notice he says, set of deep as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee, and he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. That's exactly what they say about the seven seals. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. I don't know what he's talking about. Wherefore the Lord saith, for as much as this people draws near me with their mouth, and with their lips they do honor me, but they have removed their heart far. Their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Rule upon rule, conduct upon conduct, order upon order. And so we have a book of codes. We get the old ruler out, we measure your heels. We measure, make sure that they're not over a certain length. We measure your skirt, make sure it's so far below the knees. We measure your hems and this and that. I mean, we examine your hair, make sure you're not trimming it, cutting it. And the message becomes unto them rule upon rule, rule upon rule, conduct upon conduct, conduct upon conduct, order upon order. And they're so caught up into that that they stumble and they can never come out of darkness. To them, that is the message. Well, let's read it. Hold your finger here. We'll go back a chapter. verse 8. For all tables, all pulpits are full of vomit, full of food from another day, food that's been mixed with man's own fluids, his own man's, well, just mixed with man, and its filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? The NIV says, and whom shall he make to understand the message? That's why we have our websites, The Message Doctrine. It's the same thing. Doctrine, doctrine. Message, message. Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts? I don't think so. They've got to be, yes. In other words, those that are no longer babes? Yes, absolutely. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, there a little, yet they would not hear. To whom he saith, this is the rest wherein ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Now the NIV says this, so the word of the Lord will become unto them, do and do, do and do, rule on rule, rule on rule, here a little, there a little, until they will fall backward, stumble, and be taken into be taken captive. In other words, in bondage. Legalism. And gross darkness shall be upon the people. Now going to the next chapter again, back to 29, verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among the people, even a marvelous work and wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. The wise men. The understanding of the wise men. The prudent. It'll be hidden from them. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us and who knoweth us? In other words, it's dark. There is no light here. We can get away with what we want to. No one's watching. Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say to him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding? Is it not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field? And the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest? And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off. All that watch for iniquity, all the make-believers are cut off. They make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate, and turn aside the just, that's he that's justified, he that has revelation, for a thing of nothing. Therefore thus saith the Lord, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall not be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale. But when he seeth his children, the work of mine hand in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and shall fear the God of Israel. They also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. In this respect, they know nothing as they ought to know. It's all a vision, a night vision. It's all a dream to them. It's all a speculation. Could be this, could be that. They have light, they do not have light on the subject. Rather, they're guessing. And they don't see the necessity of the most important thing, and that's to be born again, the new birth. And they will not come to the light to be born again. And they don't realize their true condition. Revelation chapter 7, or chapter 3, verse 14 says that they are blind, they're naked, they're blind, they're miserable, and yet they don't even know it. And under the angel, the messenger of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. Like Brother Branham said, no, we don't need anybody to teach us. We have the Holy Ghost. He's a teacher. And because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with materialism, and have need of nothing, and yet knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Deity. Gold is deity. In other words, a new birth. That thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed. That's purity. And that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. The reason why you are naked, miserable, and don't even know it is because you cannot see. You're in darkness. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore, and repent. The one who sleeps are therefore to understand this one that sleeps, it speaks of, is a sinner who is satisfied in his sins, who is content to remain in his fallen condition. To live and to die without the image of God. Now think of that. To live this life in this fallen condition, never having hope, never having desire to come into the image of God. That's a pretty miserable picture that's painted by the gospel. One who is ignorant. Now, I didn't say dumb. How many know there's a difference between being dumb and being ignorant? Brother Van called them a bunch of ignoramuses. What does that mean? It means they willfully do not want to know. Doesn't mean they're dumb. They could be very brilliant scientists, could be very brilliant people. But they're ignorant. Like he said, ignorant of this one thing. And then he goes on to say it by the word of God. The heavens of old were framed, etc. Willingly are ignorant. They are ignorant of both their disease and of the only remedy for that disease. Some have never hearkened to the warning, or they've never regarded the warning of the voice of God to flee from the wrath that is to come. And Brother Branham said, God always sends a warning before judgment. The reason, if we could only recognize the reason God sent a prophet, was to get us ready for the judgment, to pass the judgment. And how many people continue to go on in their slop, not taking heed? But I'm going to tell you something. If William Branham walked in that door right now, I don't know if there's a soul in here that wouldn't be shaking in their boots. But that's good. Because the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. People that haven't a fear of God are fools. Fools will walk with hobnailed shoes. And the fool has said in his heart, what? There is no God. God doesn't see. I don't have to worry about that. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He is not present. He is not here. I get letters, received one from a brother in Africa, South Africa, is actually an email from Pretoria. And he wrote to me and he said, I've really been enjoying the website. It's meant a lot, means a lot. He said, but I have a question. He said, my friends in the message tell me that you believe in two gods. He said, I don't find it anywhere in your website, but I want to know, do you believe in two gods? I said, I want to know for myself, do you? And I said, thank you for asking. I said, absolutely not. I do not believe, nor does Brother Vail believe, nor did Brother Branham believe in two gods. We believe that there's one God, and he had a son. He wrote back and he said, thank you. He said, because my heart, he said, I wanted to be careful, because he said, I was feeling in my heart a warning of the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Ghost, that I have not felt since I came in the message. And he said, the Holy Spirit has warmed my heart so much through the reading of the doctrine. Another brother wrote to me recently and he said, you know, I had come around the message years ago, but I've been backslid. He said, I've been doing very evil and wicked things. He said, I haven't gone as far as gay sex, but I've gone about just as bad as you can get. But he said, when I started reading that website, God cleaned me up. And I just thought you might want to know. God has cleaned me up. And I'm ready to get back in fellowship. God is doing something, brother, sister. There's a warming in the heart. There's a move going on amongst the believers. There's a drawing closer. Now, I remember back in the 70s, there was a move of God out there. People wanted and they longed to get close to God. Ron, you remember that. Prayer meetings every night. People came together. They wanted to be together. They wanted to know the things of God. Then 77 didn't happen. A lot of people fell by the wayside in the confusion. A lot of good souls kind of stepped back. Lost their vision for a period of time. In the 80s, it got worse. Because materialism cropped in. And in the 90s, people began making money like they'd never made before. Living and doing and enjoying the things of the world like they'd never been able to do before. And what happened? The fire began to dwindle. The warming of the Holy Spirit. The one great joy that they had. Now they wish that they could go back to those days. And yet I'll tell you something. I have that warming of the Holy Spirit in my soul. I talked to Brother Vail. He has the warming of the Holy Spirit in his soul. Just the joy, the stimulation of the revelation. That and look, I told this to a brother years ago. He didn't understand a clue what I was talking about. I said, when the Holy Spirit begins to move, I said, there's something that takes place. It's literally, and you don't go by feelings, but I tell you what, there's something that begins to literally move. David said, I was moved in my bowels. There was something beginning to move in the inner soul. A warming. And if you've had that, you know what I'm talking about. And you don't have that in your sleep. You don't have that in the visions of the night. When the sun comes up, it warms you physically. Right? You lay in the sun, the sun's coming through that window, you lay upon your bed, you can feel that sun kind of toasting you a little bit, warming you up. If you're not warmed by the Holy Spirit, you need to get back into the light where it's warm. And so the sleeper, the one who sleeps, that we're speaking of here, is satisfied in his sins. They're content. They're content to remain in their fallen state. They're content to live a life and to die without the image of God. They're ignorant of both of their disease and the only remedy for it. They do not see that they are in danger of hellfire. They do not hear the warning of the voice that causes us to flee from the wrath that is to come. They do not cry out in earnestness for their soul. As it said back in the days of Paul, what must we do to be saved? Men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? Even the foolish virgin has been awakened out of their sleep by the shout, but these have not. They continue to sleep. Whether he be the Laodicean spirit, neither cold nor hot, or a quiet, rational, inoffensive, good-natured student of religion, or whether they be zealous and orthodox, or living a life as a Pharisee, that is according to the scriptural account, one that justifies himself, one that labors to establish his own righteousness as the ground of his acceptance with God. This is he who, having a form of godliness, denies the power thereof. Yes? And probably reviles the power thereof, because the Word of God is the power of God. And yes, they do revile the power of the Word. I get emails, I've had several of them, that blast me from here to kingdom come. Tell me I need to get a dose of salvation. I need to know Jesus Christ. I need to get on my knees and meet Jesus Christ. So caught up and so blind. But living in a delusion. Meanwhile, the wretched self-deceiver, they thank God. Didn't Jesus say, or didn't John tell us, that ye only deceive yourselves? You're not fooling anybody else. And yet the wretched self-deceiver thanks God that he is not like other men. I thank you, Lord, that I'm not an adulterer. I thank you, Lord, that I'm not unjust, that I'm not an extortioner. I thank you, Lord, that I doeth no wrong to any man. Well, Lord, I fast twice a week. All these wonderful things that I do for you, Lord, and yet cannot see the light. Still in darkness. Touching the righteousness of the law, blameless. Yet he wants nothing of godliness. Denying the power thereof. Denying the Spirit. Denying Christianity. Denying truth. And yet he's religious. Calling himself a Christian. And yet he does not possess the life. Yet he claims he's got it. He does not possess it. It does not manifest. It does not warm his soul, and yet he claims that he's got it. However highly esteemed among men these Christians, so-called Christians, are, they're actually an abomination in the sight of God. And an heir of every woe, which Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said when he called the Pharisees and the scribes, he called them hypocrites. He hath made clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within is full of filthiness. An evil disease cleaves to him, so that his inward parts are very wickedness. He said they're whited sepulchres, which appear beautiful outside, but nevertheless they're full of dead men's bones. The bones indeed are no longer dry. The sinews and flesh are come upon them, and the skin covers them all. But there is no breath in them, no spirit of the living God. And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, what does the Scripture say? He is none of his. He said, you are Christ, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. But if not, God knoweth that you abide in death, even now. This is why the inner man must be renewed. It must be born again. And I would say that if God does anything yet for the younger generation coming up, it'll be a move to bring forth a new birth. Because I'm afraid that even though they're brought up to know right from wrong, until revelation strikes, until it's become real experiential in its reality, then you're still sleeping. You're still slumbering. Now, what do I mean by that? What do I mean by the Word of God being a reality? There's something that lays within your soul. Now, when you see the Word of God here, and you can see it out manifesting itself among you, the conditions of the hour, number one, the conditions of the church, number two, the spirit that's among the people, number three, and your own soul hungering and crying and thirsting for this. Now, how do you know if you're alive physically? You wake up in the morning. How do you know that you're alive? Sometimes at night you don't feel like you are. But you wake up and you see things. You see the sound, you hear the sounds, you see, you hear. Those are signs of being alive. Right? What about people that cannot see, cannot hear? Now I'm talking about spiritually. They're slumbering. And to be slumbering is as if being dead spiritually. Now, what does it mean to experience life? Well, you get up, you partake in life. You get up in the morning, you comb your hair, you shower, shave, whatever you got to do. You get ready for the day, you go down, you eat. You partake in the day, you have nourishment for the body. And you're participating in the activities that are going on, whether it's at work or at home. And everything around you is moving, breathing. There's sounds, there's... What does it mean then to be spiritually alive? It's the same thing. You see the Lord in your life. You see the Lord in the activities of your life. You see the Lord in the activities of what's going on in politics. You see the Lord in the activities of what's going on in the earth, amongst the people, amongst the church. And it's all become alive to you. And that shows that you're living. It's no different. It shows that you're awake. And you're not slumbering. And you're not sleeping. Another character of the sleeper is that he abides in death. Though he knows it not, he is dead unto God. He's dead in trespasses and sins, for to be carnally minded is death. And before any dead soul can live, he must hear the voice of the Son of God. Jesus said in John chapter, and we'll close, Jesus said in John chapter 11, Brother Van quoted it so often, in verse 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? What does it mean to hear? It means to understand. The one that's dead in sin has not senses that are exercised to discern spiritual good and evil. Having eyes, he sees not. Having ears, he hears not. He doesn't taste and see that the Lord is gracious. He has not seen God at any time, nor heard his voice, nor handled the word of life. In vain is the name of Jesus, like ointment poured forth, and all his garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, anointing for the dead. The soul that sleepeth in death hath no perception of any objects of this kind. His heart is past feeling and understandeth none of these things. And having no spiritual senses, no inlets of spiritual knowledge, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. He is not content with being utterly ignorant of spiritual things, but he denies the very existence of them. And the spiritual sensation itself is to him the foolishness of the folly. He says, how can these things be? How can any man know that he is alive to God? Well, even as you know that your body is now alive, faith is the life of the soul. And if you have this life abiding in you, then you're not looking for any physical evidences, only that divine consciousness, that inner witness of the Spirit, which is far greater than any witness of man. And so we see that if you're dead, you have no senses. Your senses have been turned off. And if